80% of people living with celiac disease in Australia and a similar percentage around the world are going undiagnosed. That's really not good enough, and things need to change. We need to get those diagnosis rates to greatly increase to prevent not only those yet to be diagnosed better health outcomes, but also so celiac disease and the gluten-free diet can be much more broadly understood, researched, and funded. These are issues the new CEO of Celiac Australia is well aware of and is currently planning to implement strategies that will benefit those of us living with celiac disease. That's what we'll be talking about on today's episode of A Gluten-Free Podcast. Hey, welcome to A Gluten-Free Podcast, the show where we'll be exploring all things gluten-free. I'm your host, Ben. Whether you have celiac disease like me, you're gluten-free for other reasons, or you just want to learn more about the gluten-free diet, then this podcast is for you. Let's get into it. Hello and welcome to A Gluten-Free Podcast. This is a weekly show where I talk to people about what they're doing in the gluten-free world, and I also share my own story of having celiac disease and being gluten-free. Before we jump into today's episode, I would like to acknowledge the land that I'm currently recording this episode on right now and where my family and I have the ability to live on. It is the land of the Gundungurra people, and they are the true custodians of this land. I would like to acknowledge the stories, traditions, and living cultures of all Indigenous elders, past, present, and emerging. Also, I am not a medical professional. I do say this every episode, but I really cannot emphasize it enough. I have celiac disease and I'm gluten-free, but what works for me and my guests on this show may not work for you at all. So please always remember to seek out your own personal medical advice when it comes to doing anything to your own health or your diet. Okay, let's get into the episode today. My guest on today's episode is the newly appointed Celiac Australia CEO, Fiona Crockett. We'll talk about her not-for-profit background, how she has found the experience so far, and what plans and visions she has for the organisation. Fiona, thanks so much for joining me here today.
Thanks for having me, Ben. Really appreciate it.
Well, firstly, congratulations on being appointed the new CEO of Celiac Australia. I'm really keen to find out more about you and the plans that you have for the organization. But firstly, I'd just like to learn a little bit more about your background. I understand that you have 30 years experience in across government, corporate, and the non-for-profit sectors in social impact. What inspired you to, first of all, jump into the not-for-profit world?
Thanks, Ben. And yes, I'm thrilled to be here as the new CEO of CA. It's been a very exciting first, I think it's 6 weeks now that I've been in the job. And I think saying 30 years that I've been in those sectors makes me sound very, very old. So perhaps I should take that
not
out
at all.
My profile. I actually started working with the not-for-profit sector when I was in corporate. So I worked at Westpac and I ran the staff engagement piece of their community involvement program many, many years ago when Westpac were leading the way from a corporate social responsibility perspective here in Australia. I did a bit of work with some other corporates in that space, and I got to a point in my career where I thought that I had done so much from a corporate side that if I really wanted to be considered an expert in corporate social responsibility, I really needed to get the experience on the other side of the fence, so to speak. So I was very lucky that I got tapped on the shoulder about a role leading the national partnership of the Children's Hospital Foundations around Australia. So I jumped at that, and I haven't looked back. I've been in the not-for-profit sector ever since.
Excellent. And how was that working with the Children's Hospital?
Fantastic. I have a real passion for the children's hospitals and for pediatric healthcare. So that sort of slotted very nicely into sort of a personal passion point for me. Very, very interesting, a great learning experience. having to work with five separate partners who are all governed by different state government entities, and all of the, the challenges of trying to work in a ostensibly a federated structure.
And what sort of draws you into the not-for-profits sector to begin with?
I've always had a deep desire to make a difference in the world and to do something of importance, particularly for my community. So even if I stretch all the way back to my school days, which is a long time ago, I was what we called a service prefect. So I ostensibly helped run our sort of fundraising and charitable connections in my final year of school, and I really got a lot of a lot out of that experience. It makes me feel really good being able to feel like I'm giving back and doing something good for our world. And I think that's sort of seen me go all the way through my career. So in each role that I've had, there's been some aspect of it that has been about giving back to the community.
Absolutely. And I guess working with a children's hospital, those skills would, I'm sure, translate into what you're doing now. So, yeah, I'm really keen to find out how this position came up for you and what inspired you to take it on. So how did this position come up for you for Celiac Australia, the CEO position?
I was actually approached by a headhunter about it, and it was through some connections that I had in the past that might have something to do with the children's hospitals. So yes, you're quite right. There is a really nice synergy there, and in fact, as an aside, I'm going out to the children's hospital at Westmead this afternoon to talk to them about how Celiac Australia and the children's hospitals can work together. In a strategic partnership around sort of diagnosis rates and that sort of thing. So
Fantastic.
I was approached by a headhunter, as I said. The position really interested me because I could see that CA was an organisation that had been through defederalisation, for want of a better term, about 4 or 5 years ago. It had done some great work around sort of getting a really nice foundation and infrastructure put in place for the organisation, but that it was really needing to go to the next level. And I'm always one for a good challenge. So I saw that as being a good opportunity to put up my hand and throw my hat in the ring, and here I am. Lucky me.
Excellent. That's really exciting as well that I hear that you're going to work in the Children's Hospital with Celiac Australia. I think, diagnosis rates, and especially in children, if you can catch it early, that is so good. And will prevent,
Absolutely.
further health issues for those kids. So, what do you think sort of you're going to hone into in Celiac Australia? You mentioned just a little bit there, but what do you think is some key areas that you really want to work on?
I am obviously, from my background, really interested in the health advocacy and the research piece. And if you actually look at the surveys that have been done, most recently in 2021 of our membership, that's what our members are interested in as well. They want to know what's the latest that's going on in either the research space or the health advocacy space around celiac disease. So for me, it's helping to refocus the organisation on that piece so that we can be delivering that information back to our members, but also raising our profile and raising awareness about celiac disease, because as you've just touched upon, there are a lot of ongoing medical ramifications if you do have celiac disease, and the sooner we can catch it, the better for everybody involved. So for me, it's really around in the first instance, supporting the research that's being done, looking at what research is being done overseas as well. So I'm already starting to talk to some of our sister organisations around the world, so that we're not duplicating research and resources being put into research, But also to how do we advocate for people with celiac disease or who have to have a gluten-free diet for medical reasons.
Absolutely, yeah, and I think talking to the different organizations around the world, I think that's really important because, yeah, as you said, you don't want to double up in research. You want to be able to talk to the other organizations, see what they're doing, learn from them, and them learn from us as well. And I recently had Claire Baker from Beyond Celiac on the podcast from the United States, and they're looking into some really interesting research, and it kind of along the same lines as Australia as well. And I think, yeah, if we can all just work together and yeah, find a solution, then all the better, really, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So do you have like a personal connection to celiac disease? Do you have it yourself? Are you gluten free or know someone that is?
I don't have celiac disease. But my daughter and I are predominantly gluten-free. It's a lifestyle choice.
Okay.
My connection to celiac disease, I have a number of friends who have celiac disease. But probably the most important one for me was a girlfriend that I had when I was living in the country who had a son who wasn't diagnosed until he was about 10. And as you can imagine, being 10 and being diagnosed can be quite tricky.
Yeah.
Made even more challenging by the fact that we were living in a reasonably small country town that didn't have access to gluten-free products and produce the way we do here in the big cities. And understanding and being really quite upset by the challenges and the journey that she had to go through to help Jack go gluten-free and the differences it made in his whole world changed when he started to really look after his diet and once he had his diagnosis. So I think that was the turning point for me where I really started to become quite interested in this space. But I've certainly, it's interesting the other friends that have come out of the woodwork now that they know what I'm doing and say, oh, by the way, did you know that I've got celiac as well?
It's interesting, isn't it? Once you bring it up as someone is gluten-free or they have celiac disease or they know someone in the family or friends who are gluten-free or have celiac, it is really interesting, yeah.
Absolutely.
And for kids to deal with it, that's something that I keeps on getting brought up on this podcast, and I want to explore that a little bit more, perhaps next year, just do a whole segment on that, on kids getting
Fantastic.
diagnosed and parents dealing with it or the guardians and how they can sort of help their kids to become healthy and safe. And yeah, I think that's something that really needs a lot more attention, especially in schools and different organizations. So
Absolutely agree with you, Ben. Hence, me going out to Westmead today.
for sure.
And I've certainly been doing a bit of research, looking at what's going on around the world. The European, societies are very, very good, in terms of the not only the children, but also the teenage space as well, because, I think, it's tricky being a child and being diagnosed with celiac disease, but I just cannot imagine what it would be like being a teenager and going through everything else that they go through and suddenly finding out that they've got to be quite strict with their diet. So that's certainly something that's on my radar and something that I think we really should be looking at in a bit more detail.
Yeah, for sure. Just being at school and the peer pressure, thinking about, yeah, and all the hormones and everything going on at those ages is just, it'd be so tricky to
Not
have that on
pretty.
top. No. No, that's right. But how do you think we can, because it seems to me like it's sort of a systemic issue, a celiac disease diagnosis rates. Like, if we don't, if people aren't going, diagnosed, they're going undiagnosed, they're going under the radar. It seems to be like in the medical system, it seems to be this systemic issue where they aren't diagnosing because there isn't that education around it to pick it up. And it's not on blood tests, it's not on regular blood tests or even the gene test. So if we were to be able to get, a gene test done in the first place, then diagnosis rates would go up, funding would come in from the government because they'd see that it's actually an issue. And then we'd be able to sort of progress, but it just seems to be at this stalemate at the moment. Do you have some ideas of how we could get diagnosis rates up in the future?
I think you've been listening to my conversations over the last few weeks. That's exactly why I'm going out to talk to the Children's Hospital this afternoon. They've been doing some research around diagnosis and what it would take in terms of the serology and pathology component. And what we want to talk about is they've obviously shown that it doesn't mean that we need to be sending children off for more blood tests, but
No.
it could actually be included in the normal panel of blood tests that any child could have for whatever reason. So one of the things that we're talking about is how do we work together to be able to approach government, because obviously we can go to the pathology clinics and we can influence them, but at the end of the day it needs to be something that comes down from federal government. So
Yeah.
we're talking about where I'm already talking about how do we take this to federal government and try and influence and be able to affect that it will become part of a general blood panel so
Oh,
that
wow.
anyone that is getting a blood test done. So stay tuned.
That's huge.
These
Yeah.
things obviously take a little bit of time, but
Yep.
yes, absolutely. I mean, to me, that is what I would say is a no-brainer.
Yes.
We need to be doing that, and that gives us the best possible opportunity to be diagnosing as many as we possibly can. I mean, obviously, it would be wonderful to think that we could aim for 100% diagnosis rate, but I don't think really that's a realistic
No.
target. But the more that we can ingrain it, the other piece in that too, you quite rightly pointed out, is the education piece amongst healthcare professionals. And I think speaking to a number of clinicians now with my CEO hat on, it's quite interesting. There are so many things that GPs get faced with every day, and this is just another one of them. And the si signs and symptoms can be a little bit misleading and a little bit tricky. So it's not always obvious that maybe they should be testing for celiac disease. So CA has actually been in the process of, and we hope to be launching early next year, a healthcare professionals hub, which will sit on our website. That will be a one-stop shop for GPs and
Great.
medical clinicians to be able to go to with very easy, here are some of the more common signs and symptoms. If you've got a patient presenting with this, perhaps you should test them for celiac disease. And I think that, along with a little bit of leaning on the government around, getting it as part of our general blood panels, might actually give us that giant leap forward that we need in not only diagnosis, but also having clinicians who can actually, in an informative way, help patients that are coming in and are being diagnosed.
That's fantastic. That's so exciting to hear that yeah, they could have that resource in front of them straight away. So if someone were to come in with a positive blood test, then yeah, they could just go into that resource hub and just see all the information and the steps to take. I think that's a very, very clever idea for sure. Yeah. So what's it like being just coming into this new role and having, just before we started recording, you said that you've actually in person met everybody now. I suppose it was all virtual before that. So how's it all been just sort of yeah, coming into this new role?
It's been really exciting. As I said, it's been a whirlwind. I think it's 6 weeks now. I'm starting to lose
It's
count.
all a bit blurred.
It's all a little bit of a blur. We've had a really big 6 weeks too. I mean, obviously, I've come in as the new CEO. I've been able to meet with everybody in the organisation, which is really good. We had our annual general meeting and board meeting on the weekend. So we've had the board all in, and we've also had our Melbourne Gluten Free Expo was on the 14th and the 15th of October. So talk about a baptism of fire, but
It's
a
all
really
happening.
exciting baptism of fire. I've had the honor of being able to not only meet everybody internally, but at the expo, I walked around for 2 days. I don't think I've done so many steps in a long, long time. So walking around, talking to exhibitors, but also attendees, and a large percentage of those are members of Celiac Australia. So getting to chat to them, find out a little bit more about what they want from us as an organisation, but to also hear some of the really incredible feedback that they give us, particularly around our expos.
Yeah, fantastic. And the expos look like they were just awesome this year. And yeah, unfortunately, I couldn't make it. I was sick, but next year, fingers crossed, I'll be there for sure.
Absolutely,
Yeah.
absolutely.
Yeah. So yeah, if anybody's looking to join as a member to the organization, and they haven't already and they have celiac disease and they're living in Australia, what would you say to them?
I would say join. Something that I am hearing consistently, and it was even before I came into the organisation, was if you have celiac disease, you're newly diagnosed with celiac disease, or if you've got a family member who's just been diagnosed, Celiac Australia is a really good place to get that information that you need when you're just starting out. We have a wealth of information on our member site, which is on our website. So if you want to go to www.celiac.org.au, and you can sign up as a member and get access to all of the latest research, lots and lots of fact sheets around anything and everything to do with celiac disease, lots of information around diet and gluten-free diets, recipes to help you out, because I know it can be sometimes a little bit tricky, particularly if you're working parents having to come home and have to switch your mindset and think about those sorts of things.
Yeah.
But there's lots of information on there. So I'd say join. Lots and lots of resource available to help people through their journey. The other piece of that too is we do actually have a 1300 number that people can call. So if they're having any issues or if they've got some questions, they can always call our 1300 number, and they will find someone at the other end of the phone who either has celiac disease themselves or has someone in their family with celiac disease. So someone who has first-hand experience who can talk them through whatever is going on and any of their questions that they have.
And for members at the moment, or members who are looking at signing up, is there any new plans going to happen internally within the organization? Sort of new things for members, or yeah, anything down the line that you're looking at?
All sorts of stuff. One of the things that we're looking at the moment, and this has also come out of feedback from our current members, is taking us into the 21st century. So
Yeah.
digitizing what we have, having it accessible on our phones, so via an app or whatever it might be. Not only do members really want to know about what the latest is and what's being talked about in the world of celiac disease, but they also really are looking for advice and guidance around where can they go out to eat safely. Who are some of the restaurants and cafes around that really are truly gluten-free? So at the moment, we're scoping that out, talking to some potential partners around how we actually make that happen. So I would say stay tuned. Early 2023, that should hopefully be quite a big step towards revolutionising membership at CA, I think. But yes, it's coming.
Excellent. Yeah, and I've had some people already on this podcast who would be more than happy to, I'm sure, be involved with that app, and yeah, who have created apps themselves, and yeah, would be more than happy to speak to you. So I will put them in touch with you for
I
sure.
love speaking to
Yeah.
people, so and
Excellent.
I'm all about partnerships. So
Yeah.
if we can partner with someone who's already doing something in this space, then I think that's far more powerful than us trying to duplicate or do exactly what they're doing as well. So I would love
Absolutely.
that.
Yeah. Oh, well, Fiona, look, I know you have to get off to Westmead Hospital soon. So, and I know that you've been so busy in your role already at Celiac Australia. So just want to say a massive thank you for coming on here and chatting with me today. Celiac Australia is just such a great organization. Ever since I signed up, they've been really, really helpful for me. And regular listeners will know I have Penny Delsberger and Emily Monaco from Celiac Australia on this podcast on a regular segment. And it blows my mind how much work you guys do and how much effort you put into the organization to make the lives of us living with celiac disease so much better. So look, I wish you the very best of luck with this new role, and I'm so glad you could take the time out of your day to speak to me today.
Thanks, Ben. Really appreciate the opportunity and really looking forward to seeing what we can achieve together for all of you suffering with celiac disease.
Just before I let you go, can you let listeners know how they can connect with you online and get in touch with Celiac Australia if they have any questions or comments?
Sure. So probably the best way, if they've got some general questions about celiac disease or if they want to know about membership, they're best to go to our website, so www.celiac.org.au. Or if anyone is interested in reaching out to me personally, I'm very happy for people to reach out to me. Probably the easiest way to do that is not get caught up in my thousands of emails, but to actually reach out to me on LinkedIn. So it's Fiona Crockett. Just do a search of me in LinkedIn and I'm sure I'll pop up, and please reach out to me that way.
Awesome. Thank you, Fiona.
That's all right. Thanks, Ben.
Thanks so much for taking the time to join me here on a gluten-free podcast. If you're enjoying it and think someone else would too, please share it with them. Also, I'd really appreciate you giving a rating and review on whatever podcasting platform you're listening on. You can find me on Instagram at a.gffamily or send an email to agluten-freefamily@gmail.com. I'll add all this info in the show notes. Until next time, bye for now.